All right, Colossians 1, verses 7. Read with me verses 7 through 9. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Now, at first glance, all these verses are a mere closing salutation. That's how it ends, a salutation by the hand of Paul, meaning of a farewell, or as we would end a letter, hope the Lord's with you and so forth. But it's much more than that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. There's several names mentioned here. I think 16, I think counted, I forget. Romans 16 is the end of Romans. That's a long book, isn't it? And he mentions 35 names. The whole 16th chapter, the concluding chapter of that great book of Romans. 35 people that he commends. And he brings them to before the church to honor and commend them for their service to Christ and each other. And this is the same. It's a short book, but about half the names. But all these names, some of them are not too familiar to us, like Tychicus. But they were well known by the church back then. If I was writing you a letter and said, Dan Ogle says hello. You think of somebody that you know and you love and you've been around a long time and very familiar to you. Well, all these people that he mentions were well known by the church. And they all tell a tale. Every one of them were saved by God's grace and tell a tale to the praise of the glory of his grace. Psalm 91:90 says, we spend our lives as a tale that is told. Our tales have been told. Our stories were pre-recorded, predestined, written in God's book of life long before we were born. And everything about us, down to the hairs on our head, or not in our head, were predetermined by our Lord, and everything about it, and written in a book, and it happened exactly the way the Lord purposed it to happen. All good. And all these people ended up in glory, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And so shall we, all of God's people. So that's a wonderful thought, isn't it? A wonderful thought. What the world hates, God's sovereign predestination of his people and all things, we love. We're so glad. So glad. Tychicus shall tell you of my estate, he said, I've sent to you for that purpose to tell you. And he says he's a faithful, beloved brother, a minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. A fellow servant. Paul is in prison. He's suffering. And yet he's more concerned about the people he's writing to than himself. He's more concerned about everyone else. He said, he shall comfort your hearts. Well, didn't Paul need comfort? Yes, he did. He said, who's weak and I'm not weak? Who's offended and I'm not offended? Who gets trouble and I don't get trouble? He said, but I'm comforted, he said, by your comfort. When I hear, told you about Brother Walter Groover, he was dying in his last hours, and that this virus had hindered the preacher's school. It's a lot, they were a lot more strict down there. And it hindered the preacher's school from meeting for a little while. And in his dying hours, he heard Betty or Andrea or somebody told him that the preachers were meeting back together for the preacher's school. He's lying in his bed. He closed his eyes and he said, victory. Victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So, Paul is comforting God's people with the same comfort wherewith he is comforted. There's one source of comfort in it, our sovereign Lord on the throne, our sovereign Christ, who's done all things well. And would you like to have Paul's faith? Would you like to have Paul's peace? Would you? He's in prison, but he has perfect peace. He said, I'm content, whatever state I'm in. Would you like to have Paul's joy, Paul's comfort, Paul's courage? Would you? We'll start here. Let this mind be in you. Think on things of others. That's what he did. He said, never mind my troubles. Other people have troubles. And that's who he was thinking about. And it comforted his heart. So start there. Tychicus. He'll tell you about my estate. Now, he mentions several people, Tychicus and others. Who is more important? The apostle? Now, Tychicus, look at the last. I got the wrong glasses, the wrong prescription. The last line. Look at the last line, right below the line. Look at it. Verse 18. This is written from Rome to the Colossians by Tychicus. Tychicus, Paul had an eye problem. Very nearsighted, I guess. And someone had to write most of the epistles for him. And it says Tychicus did this. And Onesimus. I'll get to him in a minute. But Tychicus did this. Who's more important, the writer or the deliverer of the message? Who's more important? Huh? The messenger or the one who delivers the letter? Nobody's more important. Who's more important in the body of Christ, the hand or the foot? Big toe, little toe? It's just toes. The mouth or the ear? You don't need an ear if you don't have a mouth. Don't need a mouth if you don't have an ear. Right? Who's more important? Nobody. We're all members of the body of Christ. The one that's important is the head.
That's right.
Christ, right? We're all just fellow laborers together. So Paul commends them all. Onesimus. You know that story? Philemon. It's a story of a runaway slave, a young man, treated well, loved by his master, Philemon, loved by Paul. He was a runaway, and apparently he ended up in Rome. And he evidently heard Paul preach, and the Lord saved him. He's a rebel, a runaway, no good. We think he stole some money from his master Philemon and ran away. And Paul wrote a letter to Philemon telling him, Onesimus, he's one of us now. He was unprofitable, but he's now profitable. He was just a rebel. Now he's a brother. He said, receive him. And all that's a picture of Christ interceding to the Father on our behalf, isn't it? So Paul and that Philemon, Paul had Onesimus take that letter to the one he offended. You take this to him, you tell him to accept you. And he did. And he had Onesimus take this letter to the church at Colossae. Don't you think that excited him? Huh? Let me go. Let me bring it. Don't have to preach. I'll just say, here, read this. What a privilege to serve the cause of Christ in any way, isn't it? Just to sit and hear it. What a privilege. What a privilege. I just happen to be the mouth. You're the ear. All members of the body. All right, he said, verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluted you. Aristarchus, he was apprehended at Ephesus. Remember when Paul went to Ephesus to preach and Luke was with him, and Aristarchus was his constant companion. He was from Macedonia. Aristarchus, a beloved, it says in verse, my fellow prisoner. They apprehended him in Ephesus. Just for being one of them. And they would have torn him apart if the Lord hadn't shown mercy to him. And now they let him go. But then Paul was apprehended and taken to Rome. And it doesn't say that anybody else was incarcerated or taken with Paul. But apparently Aristarchus voluntarily stayed with him in the prison. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have anybody I would rather be with. Can I just stay here in prison with you? I'll just stay here and tend to you. Would you lay down your life for the brethren? Would you? It's a good question. He that saveth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life, gives up his life and his own personal interest for the cause of Christ and God's people, will find it. Will find it. Look at the next person, Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom, verse 10, touching whom you receive commandment. If he come unto you, receive him. Marcus. Do you know who he is? It says Barnabas' son. Perhaps he's unknown to you, but you know the Gospel of Mark? That's who wrote that. Barnabas' son, sister's son, his nephew. That's who wrote the Gospel of Mark. What about Luke? Was Luke an apostle? The Gospel of Luke? No. No. They just wrote it down. But God puts their names right there with Matthew, the apostle, and John, the beloved. What's Mark? Mark? Who's he? Well, Barnabas' nephew. Well, who is? Where's he from? Nowhere. But God had him write that gospel. Some believe he got it from Peter, that Peter told him the whole story and Mark wrote it down. But John Mark. And remember, Paul and Barnabas had a falling out. Very, very bad. Paul didn't think it wise for John Mark to go with them, visit the churches, and Barnabas did. That's his nephew. So they had a falling out, and they separated. Well, and it was over Mark. There's no separation now. He's writing, so he's our brother. So apparently he's back, and he said, when he comes to you, you receive him. You receive him. He's a fellow laborer also. Verse 11, Jesus, which is called Justice. Now, Jesus was a common name. Joshua. Jesus, the Greek name of Joshua, a common name. The Old Testament, people loved and esteemed Joshua very highly. And if you had a boy, you might name him Joshua. Right? And this man's name was Jesus, but they called him Justice. And I thought, maybe they thought, no, nobody deserves that name but one person. We don't call him Justice. Jesus. What about him? Well, we don't know much about him, do we? But he's of the circumcision. He's one of us. He has the marks. Worships God in spirit. Rejoices in Christ. No confidence in the flesh. That's the true circumcision. Verse 11. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God. They're with him at that time, which have been a comfort to me. They've been such a comfort to me. All workers, fellow laborers together with Paul, all necessary. Paul had a job to do and contributed to the care of the Paul and the ministry of the gospel. And he said they've all been a comfort to me. He tells us to do the same thing, that comfort one another. Comfort one another. Comfort ye, my people, is what he told the prophet Isaiah. Well, all of us are told to comfort one another, exhort one another daily, and so much more as you see the day of Christ approaching. We're to comfort one another. We're to exhort one another. Like I told you that story many times about Donnie Bell and I climbing the peaks of Otter, you know, and he'd want to quit, and I'd want to quit, and I'd want to quit, and he'd want to quit, and we exhorted one another till we got to the top. We forgot all about the climb, the difficulty. It was so beautiful, so wonderful. So we exhort one another. Our Lord's, he's at the, are there any clouds in the sky today? It's the dust of his feet. He's stirring. He's right at the door. When you see all these things, no. He's at the door. Lift up your hands. When you see all these things, the world is in trouble. The world is in a mess in it. Well, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. And the Lord's going to come with 10,000 of his saints. Mike's coming with him. And you know what all of them are going to say? He told you. We told you. It's all true. He coming. He said, they've been a comfort to me. Been a comfort to me. Comfort you, my people. I told you the other day of somebody that hurt me, critical. But at the exact same time, I received a card from someone telling me how thankful they were that I was their pastor. It's still on my desk. It may stay there for a year or more. I needed that so bad. It was just priceless. Comfort you, my people. Comfort one another. Great comfort. Is something ringing? My ears. So he says in verse 12, Epaphras, who's one of you, a servant of Christ, he saluted you. Epaphras was a preacher. And it says in verse 12 that he was laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This man, Epaphras, was a preacher, but what Paul noted about him was that he's fervent in prayer, laboring in prayer, always pray, and that fervently, that you may stand fast in the Lord. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, that we're complete in him. We have men in here that pray, don't we? We'd love to hear them pray. And I've got to mention one man. Don't you love to hear John Davis pray? Fervently, from the heart. He doesn't want to hear this, but it's true. From the heart. Praise for me. Praise for you. I love to hear him. The Lord's blessed him. The Lord's given him a gift to pray. Others have said that from other churches everywhere. Love to hear John pray. Fervent in prayer. Fervent means sincere. Verse 13 says, I bear him record, he hath a great zeal for you. Zeal. What's zeal? The word means heat. Gets heated up in a good way. Zealous, like a bottle ready to burst. Needs to give vent. Zeal. Our Lord said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. I love zeal. One time I was apologizing for shouting, and one of the men came to me and said, don't you dare apologize. Shout louder. I'm shouting for you. Some of you want to. I wish you'd go ahead and start. Men and women, maybe after the second message you will. The second message is, amen. Amen. Zeal, zealous, zeal. That comes from a heart heat, heart heat. Isn't not our hearts burn within us? Well, he opened up the scriptures just by the way. Great zeal, earnestness, desire, and fervency, greatly desiring. He said he has a zeal for you that greatly desiring that you will stand fast in the Lord. And for them at Laodicea. Where's that? You know, we don't know much about Laodicea. There's a letter written to them in the Revelation, and the Lord rebukes them. But it's mentioned three times here. They were well known. Like, what if I said Crossville? How many names come to mind? Huh? Kingsport. How many names come to your mind? How many faces? How many people that we know and love dearly? We pray for them, though. Pray for our brethren as much as we can when they come to our memory. And them at Hierapolis, who's that? We don't know. Well, they did. The Lord knows. And there are many we don't know. But we try to pray for our brethren everywhere. Don't we? There are at least 7,000 that have not bowed the knee. But the Lord, listen to how the Lord says it. It was Elijah that said, I'm the only one. I'm zealous for you. I'm the only one preaching the truth. The Lord said, Isaiah, Elijah, I have 7,000. 1,000. Now that's not many compared to the millions. But yet, he said, I have 7,000 I've reserved for myself. I've chosen them. I've called them. I've redeemed them. I've brought them. I've taught them. I've bought them. I have reserved them. They are reserved for me, for my glory. I did it. They have not bowed the knee to Baal. They are like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are not going to bow the knee. And they're going through the furnace. Like you, Elijah. No, you're not the only one. Not the only one. No, neither are we. But they're just few and far between. Few and far between. God knows. Verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician. Luke, the beloved physician. He was Paul's constant companion, according to the Lord's providence. The Lord in his providence. Paul, you've read his account of all that he went through. Beaten 5 times with 40 stripes, save one. That's 240 some stripes. Most people did not live through one Roman beating. And 5 times. Twice, was it thrice, with rods, clubs, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, on and on it went. Oh, his body was brutalized. And the Lord had a personal physician go with him everywhere he went. Luke. What a blessing, huh? Now, there are not many wise men after the flesh are called. But it doesn't say not any. You got to be wise. You got to be smart, intelligent to be a physician. Don't you? There are not many mighty. But it doesn't say not any. David. None mightier than David. All right? Doesn't say not any, but not many. And we're all a bunch of nobodies, really. In the kingdom of heaven, some just physicians, others patients. Some of us, some are, you know, doctors, but the rest of us are just sick. But the Lord saves all manner of men, doesn't it? And he says, pray for them. Pray for them. Luke, the beloved physician. Now look at the next name. Demas. Demas greets you. Demas was with Paul constantly. Demas loved Paul, seemed to. Demas seemed to love the gospel. Demas, constant companion. Demas. Everybody knew Demas. And he wrote to Timothy right before he died, said, Demas hath forsaken me. Why? It's always one reason. You either love the Lord, he loved the world. He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Oh, that's a warning, isn't it? All these names, all these faithful, all these supporters, all these constant companions of Paul, one left him. He left Paul, he left everybody else too. But at the time, isn't that a warning that we should examine ourselves, whether we be up to faith, that we should know ourselves that Christ, don't you know if Christ is in you except you be relevant? That we should take heed lest there be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we exhort one another so much more as we see the day approach? Brother, this world's not worth forsaking Christ for. It's not worth it. Love not the world, the things of the world. Don't do it. It'll take, don't run with the world. They'll steal your heart. Oh, may those words dwell richly in us in all wisdom. May we take unto us the armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And all the devil uses is this world. He's a master at it. He's a deceiver. Don't let him deceive you by the grace of God. So he says in closing, verse 15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. Salute them and Nymphas. Who's that? I don't know. Well, he did. Paul did. He's just a nobody. The church knew. And the church is in his house. Apparently he had the church in his house one time. He couldn't meet anywhere else for persecution or something. You know, the early church had suffered a lot of persecution and they had to meet in people's homes, didn't they? They did. Well, we did too. We met in somebody's house. Was that not one of the sweetest services you've ever been in your life? I wouldn't take anything. The house of Davis. God, one time, you remember the story of David and bringing the ark back, and it was on a cart. Bringing back the ark, and it was on a cart, not supposed to be on a cart. Supposed to be on the shoulders of the priest, the Levite. And they were doing it all wrong. He's on that cart, and Uzzah, this young man, reached up to steady the cart because it was shaking him. God killed him. Don't you touch, don't you lay your hand, don't you put a finger on God's truth, God's gospel. Don't you add anything. It doesn't need your help. God doesn't need you. The ark's not stumbling. God's not, he's able to say, he doesn't need you to help. And God killed him. That's a whole gospel story right there. And David scared him bad. He said, we haven't done it right. Well, they took that ark and said, what are we going to do? They were all afraid. Fear of the Lord. And a man named Obed said, "Can bring it to my house. Bring the ark into my house and we'll watch over you. We'll treat it reverently and fearfully and carefully. Bring the ark in our house." And it said the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom because that ark was there. It was there a long time and the Lord blessed them. Honey, why is our crop growing and everybody else is failing? Honey, why is every one of our bills being paid and everybody else is doing without? The gospel. You support the cause of Christ, he'll support you. That's right. The Lord blesses the house of those who are in his cause and support his gospel and his people. Verse 16. And now when this epistle is read among you, not if, but when, you read it. One time, you remember 1 Thessalonians, it says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Right. And the other epistle to Laodicea. And remember one Wednesday night? That's all we did. The whole service, that's all we did. It was read 1 Thessalonians 5. Wasn't that a blessing? You remember that? You want to do it again? We will. We're told to. Read it. Read. When you read this, cause it to be read to the church at Laodicea. He had a fondness for that church, didn't he? Well, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, verse 17, say to Archippus, who's that? Who's Archippus? Well, he's another constant companion, it says, over in Ephesians. He's mentioned in Ephesians. Constant companion of Paul. He was always with him everywhere. Apparently he was a young preacher. He said, tell Archippus to take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord and tell him to fulfill it. Like he told young Timothy. Timothy, preach the word. Hands have been laid on you. You've been called to the ministry. Preach the word, Timothy. Encourage Archippus to preach. Who should we tell that to? Cody Henson. Tell him, write him, call him, brethren. Call him, write him. Say, Cody, been thinking about it, been praying for him. Wherever you go, where are you going? Well, I'm going to Danville this week to pray. May the Lord bless you. That's what we're about. This is what the church is about. Our conversation, our life, and others in the church. Verse 18, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Apparently he signed it. He's very poor, I said, but he signed it. By the hand of me, Paul. We recognize, we think that Hebrews was written by Paul. I'm almost certain of it. You can tell it has the marks of Paul in his closing. Grace be on you. He said that after every epistle. Right, grace on every epistle. And Hebrews said, but it's not signed. Why? We don't need to know who wrote it. No, we don't need to know. But here's the thing. Paul wrote this, but now, hold on. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. Paul took dictation. He took dictation. The Lord told him what to write. Paul is the pen. The hand is God. The hand is God. But the people esteemed Paul so highly as an apostle. They knew, they believed that he was a man sent from God. They knew it was. And so they esteemed him highly as such. And they followed him, as should we. But so Paul said, I wrote this. This is not somebody else. It's me. But it's God who told him what to write. Right? And so they received it as not as it is in truth, the word of God, but from their beloved brother, Paul. What if I said to you, I've got a letter here from Cody Groover. Would you say that? Would you listen? Would you love it? Sure you would. Remember my bonds, he said. Remember my bonds. Oh, in closing, I'm in chains, but I'm okay. Hope you're fine. Boy, isn't that love? Isn't that something? Always somebody got worse than that. Grace be with you. And he ends it the way we should. Amen. What do you say? Amen. Okay.